Welcome to
the most epic Holly Jolly
Christmas Showdown.
I'm Amanda Figueroa.
And I'm Adriana York, formerly Figueroa.
And we are two sisters who love Christmas and competition. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
All right. So we are still in our Countdown to Christmas category, which, if you don't know, goes over the Christmas movies that were produced by the Hallmark Channel. And so this is the fourth of five categories. We started out with It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, which is basically the catch-all of all Christmas movies. And then we went to Great American Christmas, which covers the Christmas movies made by the channel Great American Family. It's a fairly new network. Then we looked at Christmas Reanimated, which is our animation, claymation, Christmas movies. And now we're in our first of two Hallmark categories. We're in Countdown to Christmas now, and we'll be covering Miracles of Christmas, which are the Christmas movies made by Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. So yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But before we get started, let's talk about our weekly Christmas cheer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so mine is today I went on a walk,
mm-hmm.
and it was 70 degrees.
Oh, that is nice.
And I wasn't dying, and it just, like, gave me hope that the, like, 100 degree weather will end, and Christmas might be chilly this year. I don't know. I've heard it's an El Nino year, yeah. So we might have some crazy weather, but after this summer, I'm okay with, like, some crazy colds, I think. I'm sure as soon as we get there, I'll be like, nah.
Yeah. Mine is also weather-related. Obviously, this is a big deal for us. We broke 90. Like, we broke out of the 90s.
Yeah.
The high was 83 today.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing a sweatshirt because my house is cold. I don't know why, but
well, the fan is on high.
Yeah, the fan is on high. But even in my room, I guess my fan's on high there too. But yeah, the fact that I'm wearing a sweatshirt just puts me in a whole different season.
Mindset, yeah.
Yeah. So I was excited for that.
Is it going to be cold in New York whenever you go?
Yeah, I'm not prepared.
Like snowy cold?
No, not snowy cold, but it's going to be like highs of 50s and lows of 30s. And I'm not ready for that because all my winter stuff is packed under my bed.
Yeah.
So I have to make do with what I have because I'm not about to unpack all of that yet.
Yeah, I feel that. Anyways, so if you're new here, slash even if you're not new, here's a little recap. But the way that our episodes go is that we are going to jump into a fairly detailed summary of the movie. Today we are looking at 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. And it is a Hallmark Channel movie, so if you don't like spoilers, we will give spoilers. So pause here, go find it. You could go find it on Hallmark Movies Now and maybe somewhere else, but
you can try Peacock. Hallmark movies have been found on Peacock, and if not, you don't have to wait very long. October 20th is the start of the Christmas season for Hallmark.
Yeah, right around the corner. But so if you don't like a spoiler, take a pause, go watch the movie, get your scores down, kind of compare what your scores are like to mm-hmm. ours. But if you kind of want like a little teaser and want to know if you should even spend your time watching a movie, we got you. We're going to tell you about it. So keep listening. And then we're going to tell you, you know, all of our thoughts about the movie. We break it down into five different categories, and it's plot, main characters, aesthetic, overall, Christmas cheer, and supporting characters. So let's get into it.
Yeah. So 'Twas the Night Before Christmas is a 2022 Hallmark original film based obviously on the poem 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. It stars Tori DeVito and Zane Holt. The film begins with a man in Victorian clothing reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas" in front of a group of children. Some kids are dressed in Victorian clothing while others are in modern winter wear, letting us know that this is a Christmas festival of sorts. Standing behind the kids listening is our female protagonist, Madison, and we begin to follow her as she walks along the streets of the Victorian festival. As she strolls along, we see a man who questions the true author of the poem, Henry Livingston or Clement Clark Moore, in efforts to promote this play that our Madison is directing. Madison ends up stopping in front of the theater with a poster of the play, The Trial Before Christmas, where she runs into a Victorian-dressed man who begins to tell of the history of the poem. Madison finds it very interesting because these are kind of facts that you would know if you were to research it, but it's not common knowledge. So she's like, oh, he's really into the Victorian festival thing here. Madison heads inside where we see her argue over the phone with her agent about how she does not want to act on TV anymore. Right after this conversation, Haley, Madison's friend and fellow scriptwriter, drops a bomb that her movie in LA had a lot of script changes and she needs to leave that day. It is here in the theater that we also meet Connor, an actor who Madison had shared an on-screen kiss with, and Lena, who is the lead for the play. The actors come together and the read-through begins, where we see Lena is very rough around the edges.
Like, her experience is in hand modeling.
Yeah.
Not acting.
At all. And she's reading like this and...
She sounds like Count Dracula.
Yeah. She doesn't know how to do a read-through. And she ends up getting upset over one of the lines. And she goes, that's mean.
That's mean, isn't it?
Yeah. And we find out at the Nutcracker Theater Pub, which they end up spending a lot of time in, that Lena is the producer's girlfriend and she had to be casted in order for the show to be funded. And so you're like, oh, that makes sense. It is at the pub that Haley gets a call that she has to leave earlier than planned and basically has to skedaddle right out of the pub. After the pub, we meet Jefferson, the producer, and he wants to make changes to the play. He wants to add more romance and he wants to pick a protagonist. So the whole premise of the play was that they weren't going to choose a protagonist and that they were going to let the audience decide. But Jefferson doesn't like that angle and he'd rather them kind of steer the audience in one direction or another. And his direction is to choose Major Henry Livingston Jr. as the protagonist. And that is not the original author that is now on the poem. So it's a bit controversial. Madison has to go back and do research and Connor offers to help. Connor meets Madison at the bed and breakfast where Madison is staying the next morning. And we see Edna, the owner of the B&B, who is obviously smitten with Connor.
Yeah, she's like hanging all around him, basically hanging off of him. She's so smitten.
Yeah. Anything for you, Connor.
Yeah.
Connor and Madison go to the library to do research, where Madison meets a man claiming to be Major Henry Livingston, the other person who people speculate was the true author. Madison cast him for the new direction of the play, which is that the ghost of Livingston testifies at his own trial. The next day, another read-through happens where Livingston comes in and starts to read from the script, but then quickly goes off script as he begins to reminisce about the days when the poem was written. Everyone is in awe of his improv, except for Lena, who struggles with the improvisation of Livingston. Madison comes back to the B&B later on that day to find Connor and Edna in the kitchen baking cookies. And she finds Connor in pajamas, meaning that he is now staying at the B&B, to Edna's extreme happiness.
Yeah.
Edna leaves, and Madison and Connor seem to flirt a bit before Madison expresses her frustration with the romance part of the play. She can't figure it out. In efforts to help Madison gain inspiration, Connor mentions the on-screen kiss that they shared 2 years ago, and things get a bit awkward. They get quiet, and they end up just calling it a night. The next day, we see another rehearsal where Lena is struggling severely. She cannot memorize her lines, and whatever lines she does remember, they come out choppy and confused.
Yeah, like, instead of saying claims, she was like, clams.
Like, clams.
She just couldn't read also either. She has, like, crippling stage fright.
Yeah.
So, on top of never being an actress.
Yeah.
She has such bad stage fright.
My favorite, we'll talk about it later, but it's the blocking.
Oh, yeah.
Comment that really got me. After rehearsals, Lena expresses her concerns with Madison. And so Madison and Connor take Lena to make gingerbread houses, and Madison teaches her this technique to help her memorize her lines by making gingerbread houses, and they help instill confidence in Lena. Lena ends up making 3 gingerbread houses, to which Madison and Connor bring to the festival for Edna's booth, and it is here that Madison and Connor talk about Madison's past, of how she became an actress and why she decided to go into directing now. And it's because her dad took her to the theater and she fell in love with theater, but it was easier to get into TV, and so she got stuck in TV and she wants to go back to theater. The next day, Connor comes down into the living room of the B&B. And we see him looking at his phone, where he has an email from his agent. And Connor begins to feel down when he sees that the project that he's being offered is in Lithuania at the start of the new year. Edna comes in and sees him upset and asks him about it. And he ends up talking to her about his struggles with being an actor and a dad. And so Edna encourages him to maybe find a new direction, just like how Madison is finding a new direction in her life.
No way, the main chick's name is Madison?
Yeah.
Dude, I never processed that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, good to know.
It is also on this day that the first run-through rehearsal, full run-through from beginning to end, is happening. And Jefferson drops the bomb that Sophia Ferentino, a Broadway star and now sponsor, wants to watch the play, but she can only watch it on this very day, this rough rehearsal day. So Madison is stressed out. The rehearsal begins, and everything actually is going smoothly. Lena is able to remember her lines, and she's actually doing a good job. But things get weird after they call on Henry Livingston and he's starting his testimony. And then we see another character, a guy claiming to be Clement Clark Moore. And he shows up to testify as well and basically calls Henry Livingston a liar. They keep the rehearsal going until the last possible second, and then Madison shuts it down for the day. And it is because of this interruption that they now are going to take a new direction. The amount of new directions that this play takes
is wild. Was it, like, the beginning of the movie, they had, like, 10 days?
10 days.
Until premiere night.
Yeah. And so now Madison is, like, we need to get more, and he needs to testify as well. So more changes to the script. Madison shares all this information over a call with Haley, and then Connor's daughter and his mother show up, and they start to decorate a tree and dress up in Victorian wear. It's just a nice, fun little montage. Mm-hmm. But it ends very quickly when Lena stops by and tells Madison that Jefferson taped the rehearsal and that the tape ended up getting her the second lead for a movie in New Zealand shooting on December 27th. So she has to leave that very day.
Yeah, and the next day is premiere night.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve was when they were planning on having the premiere, mm-hmm. and she left the day before.
Yeah, December 23rd. Madison is super understanding with Lena, but not very understanding with Jefferson, and she marches on over to where Jefferson is staying and freaks on him.
As she should.
As she should. He seemed like he didn't care about it at all. So she winds up at the theater where she becomes very dejected because this whole pursuit was to basically live up the memory of her dad who had passed away. It is here that Haley comes in. She came back from LA and she comforts Madison and she encourages her to get back on stage and fill in the lead role. We are then finally on Christmas Eve at the time of the performance, and Madison's agent stops by before the performance and tells her that he is now fully on board with her new direction. The play begins, and all is well until Livingston is called to the stand, and Moore shows up instead, to everyone's surprise. Madison, as her character, questions Moore until he shares the pain of being doubted of his authorship and being painted as this bad guy for stealing a poem. He shares that his love for his kids led him to write something that was completely outside of his domain, even if it was a bit ridiculous or it went against some of his virtues as a gentleman. And Madison is convinced, so she steps down. Then intermission happens and the audience votes on who is the true author. And the audience votes that Moore was the original author of the play. And eventually the play ends. As everyone is giving congratulations and just enjoying the happiness of the play, we see on the catwalk above the stage Moore and Livingston, where Livingston accuses Moore of cheating. And then they both poof out of sight in clouds of smoke.
They were spirits the entire time.
They were spirits the entire time. They were the true
spirits of those people.
Yeah, true spirits of Livingston and Moore. After the play, Connor and Madison talk about their futures, where Madison is going to continue directing in New York with Sofia Ferrantino, and Connor is planning on going back to law school, which is how he got into acting in the first place. He wanted to be a lawyer, but he couldn't because he couldn't afford it, and he ended up getting into acting instead. But he's going back to law school so that he can stay closer to his daughter. And he's thinking about going to New York to get that degree. Connor and Madison share a kiss, and then the movie ends. And that is 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
That is it.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's so hard to figure out what to include and what not to include because it's like so much.
Yeah.
So much.
Everything matters, especially like if a movie is like well done and thought out and everything is intentional.
Yeah.
So it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we like rip it to shreds or give it so many praises, like we want you guys to know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into it.
So for our first category, plot, what'd you think of it?
I gave it 4 candy canes out of 5.
I as well gave them 4 candy canes out of 5 candy canes.
Yeah, it was such an interesting angle. First of all, they're trying to prove authorship over this poem, which I didn't know that was the case. that that was even in question.
Is it true?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm assuming that there's a reason why they did that angle.
Yeah.
But it was just very interesting how they went about it, too. Like, there's this whole play with it. And I really appreciated that it did not follow a typical Hallmark structure.
Yeah.
Like, both the leads were there because they wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to see success in that area. And there was no fallout. It was a very fun time. The only thing that I would dock about it is that I'm still confused who wrote the play. And I think they did that on purpose, but I didn't think it actually answered anything in the end.
Yeah. I agree with pretty much all of that. I really liked the concept of the play itself. I was like, this is super cool. So what they did was, it was a mock trial, but they were going to get the audience involved.
Mm-hmm.
So their jury members were audience members, like volunteers from the audience. And so there was like the actors going through the trial and everything.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it was the audience who decided who the true author was. And I just thought that was a really cool concept.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anything like that. I'm not super into theater, but I've never seen anything like that. And I thought it was really cool. And yeah, I agree. I liked that the leads were happy to be there.
Yeah.
And even when Josie, Connor's daughter, was brought up, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, she's going to come here after school and all this stuff, Madison was like, oh my gosh, you should have told me, you didn't have to come. And he's like, no, like, she's going to love it. Like, everybody was just excited to be there.
Yeah.
And there wasn't like, oh, I left my big job in the city, blah, 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 blah. Like, there was none of that. And then where I did dock it was, there was still technically the typical, like, Hallmark format. There was a falling out, but it wasn't between the leads.
Yeah.
And it wasn't negative either. So that's also where it got points back, because it wasn't a negative fallout.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even Lena's fault. Like,
no, Jefferson's the true villain.
Yeah, he sucks. More on him later. But I liked that it wasn't even like a negative fallout. Like, it was meant to be, and that's why everything happened. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then also where I docked a point too is like, okay, of course he's like suddenly gonna go start studying law again, and he's gonna go to school in New York and yada yada yada. And then of course Lena, like, she has to go get a job, like, get a lead role. But I mean, I wasn't expecting that. That one was new.
Yeah.
I thought she was just gonna suck the entire time, and then that's why Madison was gonna have to
jump in. She would get cold feet, like, I can't do this. So I can see where it's like, oh yeah, of course they're gonna end up in the same place at the end of the movie. Like, they're gonna be moving into the same place, same city, and so they're gonna probably get together. And yeah, like, Lena had to go because Madison was so against acting that she was gonna have to do it.
Yeah.
But it was interesting about how it went about it.
Yeah. Is this where you wanna mention the blocking?
Yeah. Madison goes, all right, everyone, so we're going to do a read through and then we'll get into blocking. And if you don't know anything about theater, blocking is setting the distinct movements of the play. So if your character is supposed to go and grab something from the cabinet, you're going to block that in. You're going to have that written into your script so that you know how you're going to move throughout the play. And that's blocking.
I had no idea that's what that was.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Good to know.
So that way you're not just standing there and not doing anything. And also you're not doing something so random that you throw someone else off. It's like, it allows the natural movement to come in. I don't know. I only did theater in high school and it wasn't like super intense.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a small school, so it wasn't super intense, but it was fun to learn that stuff.
Yeah, I never did theater. Yeah. Another thing that I liked about it was that they made sense of the gingerbread making,
yeah,
like, trick,
yeah,
for Lena to remember her lines.
Yeah.
Because Madison's dad taught her that trick, but he's not even an actor. He's a psychologist, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Of course he made sense. Like,
yeah.
He knows how to, like, help people learn and, like, how brains work.
Yeah.
So I was like, they did a really good job. I think that's why we were happy to give them 4 candy canes.
Yeah, but back to the blocking thing really quick. But Lena didn't understand what blocking was. She goes, I don't see any blocks.
Oh, yeah.
And that was so yeah. funny. But no, it was really good. I enjoyed it. It was a good plot.
Yeah.
All right, so main characters. Who are your main characters?
Madison and Connor.
Same. Though, I have that same feeling, kind of,
for
Connor as I did with Jared in Haul Out the Holly.
Mm.
Like, he had more of a role, but it still somehow he felt side character-like.
Mm.
Like, not completely, but in some cases it was a little weird, but
I saw it more with Jared rather than Connor.
Yeah, I did too, but it still gave me that vibe.
Yeah.
But Connor and Madison, for sure. What'd you give them?
I gave them 4 candy canes out of 5 candy canes.
Okay.
I really enjoyed them, and they mm-hmm. weren't, like, annoying. You know, like,
yeah.
Madison... the only annoying part was at one point they're on the stage, like, after Lena is like, oh, okay, I've got to go to New Zealand, whatever. They're on the stage and Haley is her friend, right?
Yeah.
Haley looks at her and was like, what are you going to do? And then Madison turns to Josie and is like, Josie, do you know what my dad always used to always tell me whenever I was on the stage? I was like, bro, what? Like, answer the question.
Yeah.
But other than that, I didn't find her, like, super annoying. Like, it's not like she really wanted Lena to be the lead, but yeah. she was happy to help her.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, she was hesitant to step into the lead role whenever it was needed for the play.
Mm-hmm.
She did it.
Yeah.
And it worked out well.
Yeah.
And she was still, like, recognized as director, not an actress. And then I also did really like Connor. Like,
mm-hmm.
he was just a cool dude. He was a little too into her, I feel like, from the beginning.
Yeah.
But it was also a little refreshing. Like, I don't know. It's a negative and a positive for me that he was into her pretty much the entire time. And when they are in the kitchen of the bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
And Madison's flirting with Connor. He's, like, super excited because he thinks that she's actually flirting with him.
Yeah.
And she's actually like, no, I'm just trying to write romance into the script. And he was just, like, so disappointed. But I was like, dude, like, are you not aware? She doesn't have feelings for you right now.
Yeah.
So that was, like, the only weird thing about him. But I thought he wasn't, like, as persistent as, like, some other Hallmark, like, romance dudes. So I liked them. Overall, they were enjoyable. And I felt like they took the spotlight most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was listening to you talk, and I originally had him at 3.5 candy canes out of 5, but I was like, I can give him the extra half candy cane, so I went up to 4 candy canes.
Nice. I'm convincing.
Yeah.
I should be a lawyer. I'm just kidding.
I felt that their chemistry together was so good. Like, them together, it was really good, and it was fun, and it was dynamic. And I know you mentioned some of those things where it was like, you know, it's like, oh, he's a little too into her, or, like, the mix-up flirting situation. But I thought that that was so good that they have, like, that kind of banter. Like you said, it was refreshing for him to be like, oh, like, I'm really into her, but I don't know how she feels about me. It's like going the other way around.
Yeah.
Which is not typical for Hallmark.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed them together. My only thing was if they were by themselves, I didn't find them as dynamic. They weren't by themselves often, but like if Connor was with Edna or Madison was talking to Haley, I felt like then the supporting characters were starting to outshine them.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they worked best together, which mm-hmm. I liked. I really liked that idea that you can actually see that chemistry, but then it was more evident when they were apart how yeah. maybe they played off of each other a lot more than what we saw.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
So yeah, but otherwise I really liked them.
Me too.
So aesthetic, what'd you think of the movie? How did it look like? How did it make you feel in terms of decorations and scenery?
I gave it 3 candy canes out of 5 candy canes. Mm. I really liked when they were out on the town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I liked that thought of, it was like almost essentially cosplay.
Yeah.
And so I liked everybody walking around, but then you could tell, like, some people were in it, some people weren't. Like, it wasn't like this weird time period. It was like current day.
Yeah.
And they are having like a little festival to go back in the Victorian era.
Mm-hmm.
And then I loved the costuming, but I will say the where the trial took place on the stage was so boring, and to me did not look like a courtroom at all. I was like, why is there a random chair there? I know that probably budget was low and everything, but I was like, they're like taking the stand and it's just a chair.
That's fair.
And like the counselors, like the lawyers were sitting above them, like basically in line with the judge.
They're probably trying to create dynamic with the scenery.
Probably, but I was like, this isn't realistic at all.
Yeah.
It was bothering me. But the costuming, I don't remember too much else. Madison was kind of boring.
Yeah.
Like, her outfits overall and her hair was kind of boring. But the night of the premiere.
Yeah.
That red suit.
Yeah.
With, like, the quilted sweater vest underneath.
Yeah.
And her hair is back, pulled back in like a slick tight bun. And then she has like the emerald green little beret.
Uh-huh.
So cute. And that red lip.
Yeah.
So cute. Honestly, that outfit made up for all the other boring outfits throughout the movie because I loved it so much.
No, that was a very cute outfit.
Yeah.
And it's so much better than whatever Lena was going to wear.
Oh, yeah, that, like, pencil dress.
Yeah.
Awful. But, yeah, and then I also liked how they dressed Livingston and Moore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it was fun because it was like, okay, are you actually in the little Victorian thing? Or are you a ghost? You know, like, I liked that it was kind of confusing. And then also it showed, if that were actually the case, it showed that the people dressed up very Victorian, you know?
Yeah.
For them to be, like, the people of the town dressed up very Victorian. No, for them to be just confused as one of them.
Yeah.
And I loved Connor's outfits pretty much all the time.
I would agree. I gave it 4 candy canes out of 5. And it's because the decorations in, like, the pub and especially in the B&B were so good, and it was just so cozy.
Yeah.
And I really loved it. And so it really put me into a Christmas feel. I understood what you mean about the play being kind of like drab, and so I can understand that part of it. I love the Victorian festival thing. You know, in Galveston they do the Dickens festival, and I wonder if it's like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to go to one now because if it's anything like that, that'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
And I thought there was like this good mix of like modern realistic with this old timey fantastical bit
mm-hmm.
that was really nice. And you saw that with the costuming. I loved how Connor was dressed. I loved pretty much how everyone was dressed except for Madison. I felt like they made her very matronly.
Yeah.
Like, there's distinctly this one outfit that I remember. She's wearing these gray slacks with a either a tucked-in knit white, like cream knit sweater.
Uh-huh.
Or it was like a crop knit sweater.
Uh-huh.
But I couldn't tell. But she looked like, she dressed like Diane Keaton from Father of the Bride. That's what it gave me. And I was like, ma'am, that is a, you're looking like you're dressing like you're 50.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. But it got better as they moved along in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, there was just that one horrible note. And then I was like,
I feel like all of her outfits just in general were, like, pretty boring.
They were boring, but that one made her look old.
Mm.
And I think that was, like, the thing that really stood out to me. The score, what I gave it, was mainly from, like, the decorations. Because mm-hmm. I loved that B&B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nicely decorated. Okay, next category. Overall Christmas cheer.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
I gave it 2.5 candy canes out of 5. It was a really good movie and I loved the premise of it, but there wasn't much about Christmas or the spirit of Christmas. Like, it wasn't about giving or being with family, and it wasn't like Christmas this, Christmas that, Christmas this. And so if I had any warm fuzzy feelings, like, that got me in the Christmas mood, it was mainly because of the decorations, not so much the premise of the story.
Yeah.
So, it was like, they were obviously in the Christmas season, that was clear. Christmas was kind of mixed in with it because of the poem, but it wasn't about Christmas, so I had to dock it.
Yeah. I'm actually going to take my score down another half a candy cane.
Mm-hmm.
I originally gave it 2.5 candy canes, but now I'm going to give it 2. Just because, yeah, really what carried the Christmas cheer was that, okay, it's about the poem, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, uh-huh. and the decorations and, like, you know, the costuming, red and green and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But that was it.
Yeah.
And it was nothing more. Like you mentioned, the spirit of giving and all this stuff. Like, it was actually more argumentative. And, that like, is true. It kind of, like, you know, I know people work and these are these people's jobs. But also, it was very, like, everybody that got pulled away because of acting or, like, a job was going to start filming and stuff like that. Or, like, changes were made. Like, it was kind of like, okay, there's also, like, no spirit of being with your family or your loved ones. Like,
yeah,
you kind of just have to go work, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, if you talk about it from that angle, like, Connor had to leave his family to do the play. Like, he didn't yeah. have to, but he left his family to do the play. Now, they did come to see him,
mm-hmm.
but, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was, like, sorely lacking in the Christmas cheer. The mm-hmm. only thing that really made it a Christmas movie was the decorations, the fact that it was, like, cold there, and it was about 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Yeah.
And the premiere was on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
But that's about all of the Christmas cheer that it had.
Yeah.
Not even a Santa.
Yeah, no Santa.
Only Santa in the poem.
Yeah. And then they were debating about him smoking a pipe.
Yeah.
So.
And then also, I mean, Livingston didn't show up for the premiere because, like, Moore had deceived him and everything. So yeah. It's, like, not even honesty or, like, fair play.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I kind of want to dock it a half. I think I'm going to go down to 2. Just because, as we were talking about it, it's, like, it wasn't really about Christmas. Again, it was a really good movie, but it wasn't about Christmas. Yeah, like, you can watch it in the Christmas time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't about Christmas.
Yeah. And that's that. Okay, last category. Supporting characters.
Yep.
I gave them 2 candy canes out of 5.
I gave them 2.5 candy canes out of 5.
Okay, great. I'm glad we were on a similar page.
Yeah.
Josie, what's his name? Connor's daughter.
Yeah.
Was so annoying.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't stand her.
So annoying. I was like, and this is what happens when your father is an actor, because she's just like being raised by her grandmother, who's pretty old. Like,
yeah,
this girl is wild. She was so annoying. I wanted to be like, bro, chill out. Well,
ever since the start of the movie, I should have mentioned it in plot. I don't understand where her mother is. They got divorced. It wasn't like she died or anything.
Yeah.
Which I found interesting. They got divorced 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, in the movie, him and Madison
Shared their kiss.
I was like, suspect.
Interesting.
Yeah. But anyways, like, yeah, it seems like she has an absentee mom. And
yeah, unless it was just like her grandmother was traveling with her because it was like Christmas time. But it didn't give those vibes.
No.
But yeah, she was so annoying. Like, just way all over the place. And I was like, bro, calm down.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the other characters. Edna. She was a hoot.
I loved Edna.
Yeah. She was great.
Yeah. She was so fun. She's also another one that confused me, though, in terms of plot. Is she divorced? Is she married? Is she widowed? Because she was all over Connor. But then all of a sudden she mentioned her and her husband. And I said, Edna, where's the ring? Where's that guy? You know, you seem to talk really nice about him. So I'm going to think that he died.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine them getting divorced after her high praise.
Yeah. Who else? Jefferson.
Oh,
I just didn't like him. He actually took away from the plot in my eyes. Like, I understand him, that he brought Ferentino. Okay, thank you. I understand that he brought her, and that was super exciting and helpful for Madison, and like, we needed him for the Lena aspect.
Yeah.
But it took away from everything else. Like, there was like random scenes of like him and Lena and their love for each other, and like, he's, like, so proud of her and yada, yada, yada.
He was so weird.
He was like, so obsessed with Lena.
Which, I was like, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
He's, like, if I were to read a book about, and, like, there's a morally ambiguous character who, like, is kind of bad and evil to everyone else, but then there's, like, this one girl that comes in, he's like, I will be good, but for you only.
Yeah.
You know, that's the vibe that Jefferson gave me, because he did not care about anyone else, you know?
Yeah.
He backed this play, and he didn't even really care about it. He's like, yeah, I just want a role for my girlfriend. And then whenever she got the role, he was like, I mean, I'm just doing it for her, so.
Yeah, he said,
screw you, essentially.
The play can go on, or it doesn't have to. Like, you decide. And I'm like, bro, seriously.
And she's like, well, Sofia Fiorentino isn't going to back a play that's never even been done before. Once.
Yeah.
And he's like, eh.
Yeah, I did not like him.
I was like, screw you, Jefferson.
Even, like, for the plot, or like being a villain and making us like the main characters more, like, I just didn't like him. Like, I think we would, like, I think the movie would have been fine without Jefferson.
I think so too.
Lena, I liked her, but it seemed like it seemed like she was better at acting when she was pretending to be bad at acting, you know? Yeah. Like, the way it was performed, I guess, like, from the real life person. Like,
yeah,
she was better when she was bad on the stage rather than like being a normal character in the movie.
Yeah, she was kind of quirky, you know, in her own way. And I think when she all of a sudden was good at acting and got that role, then it took away from that quirkiness, and it was like, it was kind of a weird character shift.
Yeah.
And so Lena was okay. I think Moore and Livingston were okay. Like, they did what they needed to do.
Yeah.
Like, I liked Moore and I liked Livingston, and I liked the dynamic that they brought because I thought they worked really well together.
Yeah.
I wish we had more of Haley. I loved Haley.
Oh, I did love Haley. Like, when she had her human interaction break or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She goes, that's it. I can't talk to you anymore.
Bye.
That was my 15-minute human interaction break. Now I have to get back to making these changes. No, she was a real character. Like, she was there for Madison. She had, like, normal reactions.
You know, okay, now that you're talking reactions,
yeah,
I know that they're not supporting characters, but some of these extras that they had,
yeah,
I was like,
what? Like the stagehand.
Oh, he, I loved him.
I loved him. Honestly, like,
he was so funny. He, like, didn't react, you know, during the rehearsal when Lena got,
Yes, I know exactly.
Like, when Lena was recorded and it was, like, the first time that, was it Livingston popped up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, everybody else in the theater is like, oh my gosh, how did that happen? That's crazy. And then he looks at Madison and he's like, nice special effect.
Yeah, he goes, nice effect.
Yeah, and then that was it. And then there was another time when he was just, like, so, like, yeah, cool, dude.
Mm-hmm.
When it's, like, that was not the reaction at all, but it was great.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was. I think it was, like, the actual performance when the lights were going out. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was. The lights were, like, flickering on and off when Moore was showing up onto the stage.
Yeah.
And Haley was like, did you do that? And he was like, no. Like, the lights just flickered. There's this smoke. This person just appears out of nowhere. And he's just like, no, it wasn't me.
And, he was so easygoing. Like, when Madison was like, did you get their contact information? He goes, no, ma'am. I went to go find Livingston. And he was gone. And so was Moore.
That was it.
And I was like, I feel like he would have been so stressed out. Like, because it didn't seem like there was a lot of other people behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But he was just like, yeah, this is showbiz.
Yeah. He said, that's showbiz, honey. When I say extras, I mean the actual extras.
Yeah.
Like, during the performance in the jury, right next to Edna is this one chick, and she just looks so bored. She's like, like, deadpan, like, done. She's like, get me out of here. I actually didn't want to volunteer. And then... whenever they stand up to applaud the performance, you know, the grandma, she stands up, and then this girl, okay, so it's the grandma and Josie, they're the first two for a standing ovation, and then the girl next to the grandma just looks so like, fine, I'll do it. She's like, I guess I'll stand up. Like, she wasn't like happy at all for the performance. She was just like, I'm just here, dude.
Yeah,
I'm just here. It was so funny because I noticed those extras.
Yeah.
And also, the judge for the trial.
Oh, she felt like such a judge.
She literally felt like a judge. Like, she rolled her eyes. She was like, no.
Not in my courtroom.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Yeah, not in her courtroom.
Okay, anywho.
Time for our totalings. So, I gave 'Twas the Night Before Christmas a total of 16 and a half candy canes out of 25.
And I gave it a total of 15 candy canes out of 25.
So that gives 'Twas the Night Before Christmas a combined average of 15¾ candy canes out of 25. But
wait, there's more.
We have the cringe factor. Dun dun dun. Icicles falling. Anyways.
What'd you give it?
I gave it 1.5 candy canes.
Me too. Tell me why.
I gave it 1.5 because I think I just had to give it one. Because
it's a Hallmark movie.
Because it's Hallmark. Like, there's so many things that is just written into the script that already makes it kind of cringy. Like you mentioned, in the end, Connor's going to quit acting. Like, a very staple gig for him right now to go to law school.
Bro, can we talk about the end?
Yeah.
That was, like, what carried the cringe for me.
Can you just kiss me already?
Yeah, literally. He's, like, they're walking out, and he's, like, oh, I love, or she says, I love Christmas in New York. And he's, like, Yeah, me too. I can't wait to be here permanently. And she was like, what? And then he's like, yeah, I'm doing law school. And she's like, oh, I know. Can you just kiss me already? And I was like, ew.
Yeah.
Ew. Like, what? Why were you like that?
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
And it was other things like, of course, Lena wasn't going to be able to act. And of course, Madison had to fill in the acting role. And it was just like all those things where it was more cringy just because I knew what was going to happen, you know, because that is like a structure. That's a cliche. So there's that. But the other half was mainly for the supporting characters.
Yeah.
Because, like, Jefferson.
Ugh. They were, like, when I say that they had scenes of, like, them just confessing their love to each other.
My dear. My love.
Dude. It was weird.
Yeah, he, all of a sudden, he turned, like, in the Victorian era.
Yeah.
My dear, I did this for you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, then you're complaining about Moore not having a cell phone?
Yeah.
It's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Things like that. Edna, I loved her, but there was still cringe with it because she was so obsessed.
She was so obsessed. She's like, oh my gosh, please come stay at my bed and breakfast. Like, I'd love to have you. Like, that's creepy and cringy.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's just little things like that where I was like, it wasn't too much, but also I had to dock it.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the nose for me. Of course, part of it comes because Hallmark, like, there's just something about Hallmark movies that there's some underlying cringe at all moments. But then also Jefferson and Lena, they were cringy. The fact that Edna was obsessed with Connor, knowing that, like, Madison was the love interest and they're friends and stuff, and, like, she was still going after him, but then she really wanted to be on the jury because, like, you know, she wanted to see them two together. I was like, that's weird and that's cringy. Yeah. And then the end, like, that was awful.
Mm-hmm.
The ending was awful.
Yeah. And I wish they would have done something a little bit different.
They could have like just ended it.
I feel like you could tell that they were running out of time, though. Like I said, Hallmark has, like, a 2-hour allotted time. And it's pretty much 2 hours. That's how they get as many movies on TV as they can. They're like, okay. 2 hours, that's the cutoff. And it's like, it almost felt like it ran out of time at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was it. So we're deducting three from our average.
Which gives 'Twas the Night Before Christmas 12¾ candy canes out of 25.
What is that in line with Holiday Spectacular? Is it the same?
They're the same.
Dun, dun, dun. We have a tie.
We have a tie right now.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't even know what to do at this point. Like, if it comes down to it.
Who knows? We'll have to figure it out.
Yeah, but right now, A Holiday Spectacular has the same exact score as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas with 12¾ candy canes out of 25. Wow.
Wow.
This is crazy. Oh, my gosh.
Wait, where's Haul Out the Holly in that?
Haul Out the Holly is in first place right now. It's 16¼ candy canes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wild.
So this is...
So we'll see next week's movie. Yeah. See what happens.
See what happens. And if it comes down to tiebreaker, we're going to have to figure out.
Yeah.
But anyways, tune in next week as we follow a woman who lost her job. And then she finds an interesting book. On the front of it, it just says naughty, and she can see anyone who's done a bad thing. This is Naughty or Nice. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's a little bit older. I think it's a 2011 film.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That really got me because I didn't even know what the next movie was. So yeah. Now I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Adriana.
Have a holly jolly day. Bye.
Bye.